everyone, and welcome to The Punts. After the helter-skelter of the North London Derby, the Premier League pauses for a week and the focus turns to Europe. Thankfully, we're talking football, not politics. The Euro 2020 qualifiers provide a wealth of betting opportunities, and DK and Alex are going to be taking you through the best of them in a minute. Derek loves the international break and he's back with his bits, while fans of the Football League are well catered for with Pete Farries, Gav Kuchlowski and Al Ross providing a few tasty morsels ahead of the weekend. Easy as ABC returns with the Spurs players uniting in an attempt to knock Henry Winter off his perch. All that to come, but we start with a cracker on Friday night. DK, Alex, take it away.
Thank you, Emma. I'm actually looking forward to this week. I know that our international break can be a little bit underwhelming coming at this time of the season, but I think we've got some good bets this week.
Yeah, fingers crossed. There's nothing quite like club football, is there? But that'll be back next week. And there's still money to be made this week, so fingers crossed we can point you in the direction of a winner or two.
And we start with a cracker. We've got Germany versus Holland. Germany a shade of odds on at time of recording, 19-20. The draw 14-5, Holland in the betting at 5-2. You can build a Your Odds bet on the William Hill website and on the app. And we've got a trending Your Odds on the website right now. Each team over one corner in each half, currently available at 3-1. If you fancy over two goals in the game, over three cards and over 10 corners, that's available at 6-1. I like the look of Timo Werner to score the first goal in this game. He's 4-1 to score first, 6-5 to score any time. He started off the Bundesliga season in flying form, 5 goals in 3 games, got a hat-trick at the weekend. So I'm looking at Timo Werner as a bet in this one.
Yeah, he's a good player, and you've got two sides here who are both very different to what you'd stereotypically call a German side and a Dutch side. They're both going through a process, and they're at different stages in that process of evolving, if you like. Mm. Germany have been playing really, really nice, tidy, free-flowing football without, I say without a focal point. Of course, Timo Werner can be that, but yeah, with the likes of Leroy Sané and Serge Gnabry and causing problems. Obviously, no Sané with injury on this occasion, which will change how Germany play a little bit. Holland, on the other hand, have gone from being, let's face it, pretty useless for a little bit of time, and all of a sudden now they're coming out of their shells. And you've got to think this Dutch side is primarily made up of Virgil van Dijk, Gini Wijnaldum, and then that Ajax team from last year. That's sort of the crux of it, and Memphis Depay as well, which doesn't really fit, but they're a tidy outfit as well. They could be overpriced here, to be honest, because these two sides have met each other a lot in recent months. This will be their fourth meeting in 1 year, exactly. And they know each other fairly well, don't they?
They do indeed. I expect this game to be entertaining. I reckon we're going to get over 2.5 goals in this game.
I'd say that is a banker, to be honest. Recent games, we've got a 3-0 Holland, a 2-2 and a 3-2 Germany. There have been goals and they're recent encounters as well.
Yep.
I think goals is a must in this. I think over 2.5 is a massive play. I think both teams to score is a massive play. I'd go one further. I think over 3.5 could even be a play here. So check out all the range of markets. I think it will be entertaining. I'm hoping for lots of goals. I think Holland could edge it, but I will leave the outright out of it. I just back goals, goals and more goals, Dave.
Have a look at over 3.5 goals in the game between Germany and Holland. Now, our popular game, Easy as ABC, has really taken off in the last few weeks. Well, we think so anyway. Henry Winter still leads the way with 11. And I'm not sure this is written in the rules, but the Spurs team have clubbed together to have a go this week.
Ajax.
Barcelona.
Charlton.
Deportivo La Coruña.
Everton. Wow.
Fiorentina.
Galatasaray.
H?
H.
Ay, ay, ay.
Come on.
H.
What's it? Heerenveen.
It's Dutch, isn't it? Heerenveen, yeah.
Heerenveen.
It's not him, eh?
Havre.
No?
Le Havre.
Le Havre.
Havre. Have the French team.
Still Henry Winter leading the way then. You can't have Havre for Le Havre, unfortunately. Toby Alderweireld not happy with his teammate Lucas Moura.
And understandably so. I tell you, it's not as easy as it seems. I had a go a few weeks ago, didn't I? And did okay, but yeah, not great. It's difficult. It is difficult.
Getting to Henry Winter's standard in Easy as ABC is what everyone should be looking to reach. And that's more important to these Spurs players than getting Champions League qualification next year, I'm sure.
Quite possibly. Who knows? Who knows, Dave?
Let's talk about Wales versus Azerbaijan next. Wales, long odds on to win this game, 24-100. The draw is 9-2. Azerbaijan, 14-1. Under serious pressure, Wales. Only one win from their opening three group games. And Ryan Giggs has lost seven of his first 13 games in charge. It's hardly qualification form for Wales. I was going to say title-winning form there.
No, not quite. It's difficult because do you base Wales on what they did in the Euros a few years ago? In which case, what they're doing now is underachieving.
Yeah.
Or was that whole Euros campaign just one big overachievement and now they're just off the back of it back to reality, if you like?
I suppose they're still in the bedding in phase, aren't they, as well, under Giggs's new management. It's not new management, but he's only taken charge of 13 games, which isn't a lot, but it's over such a prolonged period of time, given the international scene. I think they've got some good players, Wales. We've seen Dan James obviously make a huge impact at Manchester United in the first month of the season.
When he stays on his feet.
Yeah, when he stays on his feet. I mean, he's only dived one or two times.
Yeah,
can we forgive that?
Only two in four games, yeah. What a great strike rate, Dave. Goodness me.
He looks fantastic when he's cutting in from the left-hand side.
He's a good player.
He's a good player.
He is.
You don't like the diving, do you?
Not at all. No. Not one bit.
That's fair enough. Yeah. That's fair enough. Could make an impact in this game.
He could. And I think it'll be a welcome relief for Wales to have someone to take the burden off this man, Gareth Bale. Yeah. Because for how long has it just been Bale, Bale, Bale? And then you get a couple of supporting cast members, if you like, who can come in and do a little bit. It's actually quite nice that going forward, I mean, Aaron Ramsey's a really good player and he's been able to take a little bit of that burden off Bale. But also, when you're playing in central midfield, there's only so many defenders you can distract. Dan James could actually draw some defenders out here and create a little bit more room for Gareth Bale.
Gareth Bale, by the way, he's 11-5 to score first, 3-4 to score any time in the match. Gareth Bale is a polarising figure. He's had such success at Real Madrid, but the fans never have seemingly taken him into their hearts. And I mean, he still scored twice against Villarreal at the weekend. Zinedine Zidane wanted him out in the summer. He's not left, he's still there. He's on the golf course, he's not on the golf course. He's playing wonderful football in patches as well. I think he's been a success at Real Madrid, but a lot of people would think I'm talking nonsense.
It wouldn't be the first time, either.
No, it wouldn't.
He is a very, very good player. That goes without saying. I saw a fantastic image on Twitter earlier this week, and apologies, I don't know who tweeted it or who drew it, but it was Gareth Bale in a golf buggy outside of the Real Madrid team bus, dragging the team bus along with his golf buggy. And it's a fantastic metaphor for what's going on at the minute with Real. But yeah. I think Gareth Bale will appreciate playing for fans who like him here. And he could well get on the score sheet again, couldn't he?
Wales have got to be the bet in this game. Obviously, they're a very short price. Are we expecting Bale to figure prominently in your thoughts in terms of a bet here?
I think he has to, doesn't he, if you are focusing on Wales. But I'm going to just focus on the scoreline here. Wales 1-0 is sort of the bread and butter of international football. Whether they're winning or losing, 1-0 appears to be the result of choice. I think five out of the last seven games that Wales have played in now have finished 1-0.
Yep.
And Azerbaijan are no great shakes. I don't see them scoring. I see Wales just doing enough. 1-0 is a quite confident selection for me here.
Maybe have a look at Bale to score in a 1-0 Wales win then. And now, let's hear from Derek McGovern. He started the season with four straight NAP losers. He's been on much worse streaks in the past, though, viewers or listeners. So let's get our favourite bit, I think. It's Derek's bit.
Ah, great. It's the international break. Said no one, ever. Not even a manager of whoever's playing Scotland. We're deprived of Premier League football just so England can take on the might of Bulgaria and Kosovo, the only team with more O's to their name than Bolton. Bulgaria. We owe them one for saddling us with professional loafer Dimitar Berbatov, a striker who would never chase a long pass and never pass a chase long. No surprise really, given the capital of Bulgaria sounds like something a man would sleep on when his missus is annoyed with him. It is in fact twinned with my house. If you think England, Bulgaria and Kosovo sounds like a terrible group, you'd be right. But it gets worse. The other two in it are Czech Republic and Montenegro. It's such a weak group, even Louis Walsh would refuse to mentor it. I've been trying to find reasons why Bulgaria might win at Wembley on Saturday. They haven't won a match in seven, and that takes some doing when you've played Kosovo twice. Scotland get a lot of stick, but they were one of the few teams who qualified year after year for the home internationals. A contest between a country with a population of 5 million, like Scotland, and a country with a population of 145 million, like Russia, should be a mismatch, unless it's a drinking contest. But unbelievably, there's little to choose between the two in the betting. This tells me one thing, bookies have gone mad. If Russia, who have won their last three qualifiers without conceding a goal, don't win this one, I may very well give up betting. And bookies really would be mad about that. The Russians are 13-8. Yes, there will be better 13-8 shots around. Problem is, they'll all be 8-11.
Derek looking for a winning nap. He's gone with Russia. And speaking of Russia, we'll talk about that game next at Hampden Park. It's Scotland versus Russia, and Scotland are 9-5. The draw 21-10. Russia are in the betting at 13-8. We just talked about a lopsided betting encounter, Wales versus Azerbaijan. This one very much tighter in terms of the market prices. Scotland will be, I think, thankful they've got an opportunity at qualification, even if they don't qualify through this group. Given how well they performed in the Nations League, and they might need that to fall back on. I think this is going to be a tough game for the Scots.
It will. I just want Scotland to progress. I want them to do things. We've seen it with other nations, you know, with Wales and with Northern Ireland in recent years. They've had joy at major tournaments, and Scotland can't even get there. But I really, really want them to, because they do have some decent enough players. They're not world beaters, but you look at their squad, and you look at the likes of Andy Robertson, and you look at Scott McTominay, and you look at Ryan Fraser, for example, and they're players who can make an impact on the international stage. But I don't want to say they don't.
You nearly said it's Scotland then, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
You did. You nearly said it's Scotland.
I didn't. I think this will be difficult for them. It's really intriguingly priced up. If you have a strong view on this game,
yeah,
either way, you're getting a fair price, because there really isn't any clear market move, is there? There's no one that you think, well, I'm going to start with this. Even Russia don't have a star man as such.
I think there's one positive with Scotland is they've won their last five competitive home internationals, mm-hmm. and winning breeds confidence. So Scotland will go into this game with confidence. I like the clip with Ollie McBurney. At the weekend, caught on Sheffield United TV, maybe just suggesting that he wasn't overly enthused by the international break. That's been swept under the rug to a certain degree, and everything's happy in this camp. Mm. Let's get your bets for this game then. I think Scotland might win.
Okay. Would you back them at the price?
No, I'd be looking for supporting markets, maybe.
Yeah, I ummed and ahed on this game for quite a long time, to be honest. And in the end, I bit on the side of Russia. I think that price is just too tempting. Let's not forget, Russia on their day are a very, very capable side. Yes, they hosted the World Cup, but they got fairly far in it. And I think they could just provide a little bit of value here. I do like Scotland, and I hope that Scotland do well. But from a betting point of view, it's got to be head over heart. Russia have to be the bet.
Russia the bet for Alex, then. Let's hear from the Football League guys. They had their first losing treble of the season last week, but still firing on pretty much all cylinders. And we've given Pete Farris free rein, given there's no action in the Championship. So we'll start off with Pete's best bet. And we get a treble from the chaps.
With no Championship this weekend, I'm allowed to take a look at Leagues 1 or 2 when it's Al Ross's territory in League 2, where my nap sits. Over 2.5 goals in Mansfield against Scunthorpe is even money, a great price when you consider there's been 9 goals in Mansfield home games so far this season, and that includes a game where it didn't land at all, and there's been 11 goals in Scunthorpe away league games so far this season, and that includes a game where overs didn't land either. It's a great price, far too big, evens over 2.5 in the Mansfield game.
My nap this weekend is Fleetwood Town at 11-10 against Oxford United. Two sides going head-to-head who are at their strongest at home, which is why I'm opposing Oxford United on their travels. Fleetwood this season at home, 1-2, drawn 1. Oxford on their travels, lost 2, drawn 1. Could be goals in this one, so bump up the price for Fleetwood to win in over 2.5 goals if you fancy it. Head-to-head in favour of Fleetwood as well. They have won 5 of the last 6 against Oxford United. My nap is Fleetwood at 11-10 at home to Oxford.
Has to be Plymouth again. They've won two of their three home games, 27 shots, and the only one they didn't win. They were good at home in League One last season. They are stronger this season than they were last season. You have to be really good opposition to ignore any price on Plymouth at home right now. And Oldham, not good. The only one they've won this season, it was the opposition that had 71% possession and 22 shots. 7 defeats in 9 in the league if you want to go back further. It's a no contest. Take a handicap, take the race to 3 goals. I'm napping the outright at 3-4.
We will come to our best bets in a couple of moments' time, but first we're going to talk about England. Their take on Bulgaria at Wembley. England 1-16 to win this game here with William Hill. The draw 10-1, Bulgaria 33-1. Don't forget to check out loads of enhancements as we are near game time for this one, and you can build a Your Odds bet on the William Hill website and on the app as well. Numerous markets to go at, and you've got to look away from the 90 minutes betting because England will win this game, the 1-16 to do so. And that's the thing with England in the last 6, 7, 8 years, their efficiency in qualifying is virtually unparalleled, and they'll qualify easily but then get to a big major tournament and just fall short.
It's testament to Gareth Southgate and what he's done and what the players have done as well, though, that you can be fairly enthusiastic about England games now in international breaks. It never used to be the case.
I never am.
Why?
Because I always know... Listen, I'm a little bit older than you, so I know we're going to get to another major tournament. And
doesn't look it, though, does it?
and fall, not even at the final hurdle, just close to getting over the second last, shall we say.
I enjoy watching England now.
Yeah,
there was a real stage where I genuinely would not care if England were playing. I'd check the result,
yeah,
but I wouldn't be too bothered, whereas all of a sudden now... I'll watch this game.
Yeah, there's a bit of dynamism there with the likes of Marcus Rashford, Raheem Sterling, who's been in great form for Manchester City as well. Is Gareth Southgate the right man for the job?
Yeah. Well, he's done nothing wrong, really, has he? He's overachieved with that World Cup semi-final.
Yeah, but the World Cup semi-final, things played into England's hands, didn't they? That's the crux of it. We got an easy draw in the group, easy progression through, and then we lost to Croatia after having gone 1-0 up. Should have won that game.
Things all right. you sound sad. just focus on the positives, Dave. England got to a World Cup semi-final. Yes, they had a slightly easy route there, but they played some good football on the way to getting there, and they gave us some nice moments.
I fear there was an absolute look of horror when you reached over to touch my leg then. I think my face just went white.
I think that what they did was fantastic, and what that has managed to breed in terms of confidence as a nation is pretty good. I like watching England.
What are you expecting at Euro 2020?
I don't think we'll win it. But nevertheless, I'll enjoy the journey, and you should too.
Okay, we know England are superb at Wembley as well. They've got that terrific home record. England are going to win this game. What's the score going to be? What is the bet?
Well, England's game so far in qualification, we've had a 5-0 and a 5-1. They're not scared of scoring goals in this qualification spell, England.
Yep.
And I think we could see plenty of goals again. Interestingly, Bulgaria have a real trend for both teams to score. That said, I'm not sure I could put a Bulgaria goal up here. So I'm going to focus on one man, that's Raheem Sterling. He got a hat-trick against the Czech Republic in one of the other qualifiers.
Yep.
And he started the season so well, hasn't he, for Man City. Take him to score and England to win. I think that, I know it's still a fairly cramped price, but it's a hard game to find value in. That, at hovering around the even money mark, maybe a little bit shorter, would be the best bet for me. Sterling to score and an England win.
Very good. Raheem Sterling to score in an England win for Alex. And we'll go straight into the naps now. I'm happy about this, you know. Another winning nap for me last week with Leicester and both teams to score. And I'm going with a very similar bet here. Wales to win and both teams to score, which is 13-5. And that's actually happened in all the Azerbaijan clashes in the group stages so far. They've lost all the games. Both teams have scored in each match. So I'm going Wales to win. Very short price. And both teams to score in the match at 13-5. And I'm hoping to add more profit there.
I liked your Leicester win and both teams to score bet. We spoke about it last week. Yeah. I think I actually said, it'll be 2 or 3-1.
You endorsed it. That's why it came in.
I said it'd be 2 or 3-1.
You
I got a correct score. My nap didn't win. Anyway, I'm less keen on this, I'll be honest.
Okay.
I think Wales 1-0 is, or Wales to win to nil would be the way that I'd go. But I respect you, Dave, as a man and a punter.
You're 19 in the minus column at the moment.
Hey, it's a marathon, not a sprint.
It is. What's your best bet?
Yeah, I've got England to win and Sterling to score. It is a difficult week for trying to extract the value. I do actually quite like Russia, which obviously Derek has napped.
Yeah.
I could have joined him, but then that has a bad look, doesn't it? The two guys who are in negative figures, both teaming up. So, England to win, Sterling to score. I think England will score 3 or 4 against Bulgaria. And the chances are, if they do, Raheem Sterling will be on the score sheet.
Thank you for your company this week, Alex. It's been my pleasure. We'll be back next week. Looking forward to next week as well. The Premier League starting back up. That should be fun.
Yeah, looking forward to that already, Dave. And spending more time with you, of course.
Check out all the betting on the website at williamhill.com and, of course, on the app. Make sure you look at the numerous markets ahead of these international qualifiers this weekend. And myself and Alex, we will be back next week. If you're having a bet with William Hill, the very best of luck.